Good morning, everyone. I'm going to read the Bible for us. If you want to turn to Revelation chapter 4. After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder, and before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." This is God's word. I'll just pray quickly. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you are forever and ever, that you are worthy. So we give you praise and thank you for time to gather together and to hear your word. Please help us to understand. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me okay? My name's Jared. I'm one of the elders here. I've been given the opportunity to preach this morning. We've been working our way through Ephesians, but we're not doing Ephesians today. Pete is on holidays with his family. Last week we heard Clay preach, and this week we're actually doing something a little bit different. So the way we do things at church, usually we work our way through a book of the Bible or a passage, and the person preaching will study that passage and kind of interpret the meaning out of that text and preach from the text. And so in that sense, our week-to-week teaching at church is from the Bible, and we're being led by what the Bible says. Another way of preaching is more like a topical sermon, where you might decide in advance what you're going to preach on, and then you look to the Bible to help inform what you're saying. And that's more of what we're going to be doing today. I think Bible-based preaching, where you're working your way through a passage, is kind of more like eating a healthy, nutritious, home-cooked meal. You go home to your mum or your dad, makes a delicious meal for you, and that's how we get our nutrition, and that's how we grow from week to week at church. This is probably a bit more like eating fast food, which might taste really good and might be easy to eat, but if this is all we ate from week to week, it might not be great for us, or we might not grow in the same way. And so I'm just going to test my clicker. Yep. So we're going to be talking about purpose and values today, and kind of trying to think about how we can apply biblical principles from the Bible to practical, like how we live practically day to day. And by way of an example, I'm going to talk through, so our family have spent time thinking about what our family's values are. And so by way of an example, I'm going to be talking through our family's values. And I'll talk more about that in a minute. But in terms of a structure, there's going to be a big, long intro, and it's essentially going to be a mini sermon. I'm going to have a kind of intro section for 10 minutes, and then I'm going to talk through our values for the rest of it. And I've got quite a lot to say. I'm going to be moving quite fast. I've got a clicker, so I can go fast through my slides. But it's going to be pretty informal. It's not like a normal sermon that we might hear at church, so hopefully it's helpful. So this is our family. My family are very cautious about me coming up and talking about us, and I am as well. And so, as I said, my name's Jared. I'm in my early 40s. I've got three kids. As a job, I'm an architect. But Like we're far from perfect as a family. We're very flawed. I'm a very dysfunctional man. I won't speak to the rest of my family. This is, by way of a disclaimer, I'm not putting us up here as a gold standard of what a perfect Christian family is like. Far from it. I suppose we're just talking about this today by way of an example, in the context of many other examples in this church. So there's many people who think intentionally about how they apply their values of the Christian beliefs to their everyday lives. And so there's many places you could look, and this is one way to do it. So that's by way of a disclaimer. And these are our values, and there's a lot of them, and they're not very helpful in this format. I'll be speaking to them. But again, these are more like ideals for our family that we look at the Bible. What is the Bible telling us how to live? These are some things that we think we should value, and these are ideals or direction that we want to head as a family. And we definitely don't live up to these ideals in our everyday life. So I'm not saying that this is what we do. I'm saying this is what we want to do as a family. I'll have to keep looking back so I know where I'm up to. Maybe I can walk across. But just really simply by way, like purpose and values is very corporate language. Like in big business, this is what people have been talking about a lot for the last few years. But for now, when I talk about purpose, I just mean understanding why we exist. Like what's the whole point of everything? Why are we alive? Like what is our purpose for being a human and existing at all? And by values, really clearly, I just mean what do we value? Like what do we, what's valuable to us? What do we prioritize above other things? I think in the break, so there's, as mentioned, this Sunday school isn't on today. There's a couple of kids sitting in the sermon. But to help the kids, and I suppose adults as well, think through these kinds of questions, there's a little worksheet. And so as an adult, you can answer these questions as well. But the question's in the box, so if you've got one, you might like to write down some words or draw a picture or whatever you want to try and respond to these prompts. But the first box is something that is important to me. And so by just thinking about what's important in your life, it can tease out some of your like implicit values. Maybe sport is really important to you. Maybe watching movies and with friends is really important to you. The next one is something that I enjoy doing. Someone who I love. What do I want to be like when I grow up? You know, not necessarily what I want to do when I grow up, but like what kind of character do I want to have when I grow up? What kind of person do I want to be? What's something that's important to God? Or what's the most important thing in the world? And so as we work through those, whether you're a kid or an adult, teasing out those things, it can highlight where some of our values might be in opposition to some of God's values. And so when we're thinking about this, this is sort of where it's coming to the Revelation passage that we read. I'm not going to preach through that. But I think it's helpful because it puts to us this vision of God in heaven on his throne. And if we really believe that, if we really believe God is real, and if we believe he is this eternal creative being who made us and made everything, and then all glory, he deserves all glory, that he asks us to throw our crowns down before him, all of our glory, all of our success, all of our talents, he's asking us to lay that down before him. If we really believe that, then how does that play out in our everyday life? And so when I'm talking about purpose and values, we're talking about biblical values. How does the Bible inform how we live our lives? And so being intentional and clear about what God values is a kind of wisdom to help guide us in our life where we can check it against these other things that we might value that are different from that. And Christianity isn't just an abstract set of beliefs that we can just believe in our head. It's not like a set of doctrine that we can just learn and know. Christianity is a relationship with a person who's expecting us to give our whole lives to him. In our community team, Lindley is in our team, said once, used the phrase Bible brain, which I find really helpful. Like often as Christians, we can have like a Bible brain and an everyday brain, and we can typically keep them pretty separate. But I think the Bible asks us to try and bring them together, and how can we actually live out the things that we believe in abstraction. And when we become Christians, we don't just go to heaven straight away. Like we're still here on earth. We still have to work out how to live in this in-between part. And so living as a Christian is, it's like a practical concern. There's actual things we need to do. I'm really into hiking and maps and navigation and understanding your values. I think of like a map for life, where when it comes time to make a decision about what direction to go in or what to prioritize, how fast or slow to go, trying to understand where you are in your life, the actual ultimate direction or like destination that you're heading in, understanding values helps orient us and put us in the right direction. And so that's pretty much the sermon. That's the kind of call is God is God. So if we really believe that, how are we laying our lives at his feet kind of day to day? And I think I'm calling us to intentionally think about what we value in our life. And so for the rest of the sermon, by way of an example, as I said, I'm just going to talk through our values. And so I made this thing a couple of years ago. I'm like an architect, so I'm graphically minded. You might, and again, this is just an example. I'm not saying this is what you should do. I'm just saying this is one way it's been done. And it's like a crazy diagram that has all these layers and things, and I'm going to try and explain how it works. And we don't sit and work through this at our kitchen table every day, but just every now and then I might try and put it into conversation, force it into conversation with my kids. Or every now and then we might have gone through one of these aspects. But the best way to understand it is like spines of books on a bookshelf. There's these five columns. I'm going to have to stand aside so I can talk through it. Can you still see me if I go over here? And the way we understand these are kind of like five stories. And by stories, they're not made-up stories. There's a big speaker there. These are kind of narratives from the Bible about different aspects of God's creation and how we fit into it. And so each of the stories are structured in the same way, but the whole overall page is kind of, there's an overall purpose, and then the stories are like our backstory. Like, this is who we are as people. I'm just trying to find a good spot to stand where everyone can see me. Sorry. And so the stories describe a kind of different aspects of who we are as Christians. And then as a result of that backstory is this kind of values section. These are our values as a family. This will make more sense as I go through it. Recently I watched The Princess Diaries for the first time. Highly recommend it. It's really good. And Mia Thermopolis, if you've seen it, is an ordinary schoolgirl in the States. And then she finds out, actually, that she's the heir to the throne of this European nation, Genovia. And her grandmother comes and explains it all to her. And there's this sort of like lore section where her grandmother explains to her who she really is. This is your true identity. And then as a result of that, Mia has to make lots of decisions about her life and has to go through a kind of transformation phase. Like, as a result, this is how you're supposed to act as a princess. Like, and for us as Christians, we're princesses and princes in God's royal family. And if you understand that backstory, like how do you act as a result of that? And so I'm just going to go through the five stories really quickly. The first one's about Jesus. The second one's about the church. This one's about the body, our body. This one's about creation and culture. And this one's about other people. And they all have the same structure, which there's this overarching purpose. You could imagine these are sort of like chapters in the story. This one is about who we're with or what we're with, like who we're in relationship with. This one is about where we are. Are we on earth or are we in heaven or are we somewhere in between? This one's about God's purpose for those things, God's big kind of picture intention for how he's going to act in those contexts. And within those bigger stories, who we are individually as Christians, like what's our identity as a Christian in that context? And what is God's purpose for us as Christians? What are we to do in that story? And out of all of that, these are our values. And it says, in our family, and then they're kind of our values. The first one is we know God. In our family, we know God. And that is sort of like a structure that we set up so that we can instrumentalize that into everyday conversation easily. But another caveat I should have mentioned before is that I'm talking about our family a lot. I'm talking about family values, but this isn't about family values. This is about just values. And we did this to help talk with our kids about this stuff, but I'd wish I'd done it earlier when I was a single man. This isn't about families and this isn't just for families. So just keep that in mind. And I get it's kind of like complicated. It's going to be a lot. So hopefully it comes across coherently and helpfully, but if it doesn't, let me know afterwards. I'd love to talk to you about it. So I'm just going to go through these in a bit more detail, and I don't have time to talk about it, so we can chat about it later. But for us, we just say that our purpose, the kind of whole reason we exist in life is to love God and to be loved by God. And it's that kind of two-directional thing that the Bible sets up a lot, where everything that we're supposed to do is supposed to be loving God. Every moment of our life, in our work, in our school, at home, what we're doing is supposed to be just giving everything we have to God and for His glory and to love Him. But also everything that God has done in relation to us is because He loves us. The reason why He created us, the reason why He sent His Son to die for us and save us is because He loves us. And that's what He's going to do forever, is to just pour out His immeasurable riches onto us. And so I think that's enough. Like, if you're thinking about what the purpose and meaning of life is, I think that's enough. Like, if you think, well, all I do is just love God in everything I do and just enjoy the fact that He loves me, then that kind of explains life, I think. Obviously, there's more to it. But the one story about Jesus, it's the sense that we have a relationship with Jesus as Christians, that we are united with Him and that He's been raised and glorified and is seated on His throne in heaven. And we are with Him in that our true identity is with Christ, waiting for us to be revealed from heaven in the last times. And so God's purpose for Christ in all things is that He'll rule forever and everything will be submitted and united under Christ. And the angel is talking to Mary when Mary conceives, that tells her that your son's going to be a king and His kingdom is never going to end. And who we are in that story. And so this is obviously multifaceted. Like, the Bible talks about Christians in lots of different ways, but one way to understand our relationship to God and our relationship to Christ is that we've been adopted into that family as children, that God's planned that before everything, and that we're like brothers with Christ, but also He's our King. And so God's purpose for us as Christians is to trust Jesus as our King. And so in our family, we know God. That's one of our values, our core kind of identity as a family. We don't say we know Bible verses. It doesn't say we know the Westminster Catechism. These are all excellent things. But as I mentioned before, it's really important for us to have a relationship with God because He's a person. And so one of our values is relationship with God. We also talk about obedience. One of our values is obedience because God is God and He demands our obedience, and that's good, actually. That's how we were created, to obey Him, and that's what's best for us. But also the way we know God, the means that God's given us to know Him is through Bible and prayer, that He's revealed Himself to us through His Word so that we can read the Bible and know about God and His character and His plans, but we can also talk to Him. We have access to Him through Christ, and so we can talk to Him through prayer. And so that kind of sets up a certain aspect of how our family works. Explains who we are. This is part of our backstory. Lindley, is this mic being weird? Do I have to do something? It's all good? Yeah, okay. So this one is about the church. So this is where we are today, and I've put church kind of sort of between heaven and earth. Like, in one sense, it's a physical thing. We're here right now in the church, but thinking about the universal church, that it's a kind of mysterious, supernatural thing where we're spiritually connected to each other. God's bringing a people together, and that the church will exist, the church in the sense of God's people, the church will exist forever. And we're connected to each other spiritually, I suppose. Talk more about that in a second. And God's purpose for the church is to give Him glory through worship, edification, and evangelism. I just took that from someone. I read it in a book and it sounded catchy. But the worship idea is kind of a vertical relationship with God. The edification is the horizontal relationship with each other, the way we relate to each other at church. And the evangelism is the way the church relates to the outside world. But us as Christians in that story, we're members of the church, or we're members of the body. The Bible talks about the church being like the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 is a good spot to look, where everyone's different, but everyone's really important and essential. And we're kind of connected to each other. It talks about us being family, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles. So we're not here like a social club where we just hang out because we like each other or because our friends come here or because we have shared beliefs like a political party or something. We're here because we're members of one body, like united in Christ. And so that's part of, and so God's purpose for us in that context is to love each other. And then the little part underneath says, especially within our family. And so this is in our little diagram, this is where we place our family. One of our values isn't family, our value is about loving others in the context of church, the body of Christ. And yeah, so in our family, we love others. We talk to our kids about this one a lot when they complain about coming to church. We say, well, we come to church because in our family we love others and we're united together in Christ. We're members of a body, we're family, and we value service, humility, and leadership. And I think that's the way that Christ shows us love in the Bible. He loves his people by serving them, laying down his life for us in humility. The way he leads his people is by dying for them on the cross. And so laying down our life, loving others, that's how, yeah, we show love to one another. In the way we relate to you guys and each other in our family. The next story is about the body. And I know this is really quick. I test ran this a few times. It went really long, so I'm just really speeding here. This one's about our body. So I think often we might think of ourselves as like separate from our bodies and that one day we'll die and our bodies will fade away and then we'll go into heaven. But God created our bodies. They're good things. And when I talk about the body, I'm talking about our hearts and our desires and our mind and our soul all being part of this body that God is going to renew and recreate, and we're going to have our bodies forever in the same way Christ is going to have a body forever. And so I think our bodies are important, and again, it's halfway between heaven and earth because the Spirit is dwelling with us in our bodies as Christians, that we are, that process of renewal and transformation has already begun, and the way that we can say no to sin and yes to Christ is the work of the Spirit at work in us. And because the Spirit is in us, our bodies are sacred, holy ground, like a temple. God's purpose for our bodies is to transform us to be like Christ, transforming our lowly bodies. And I'm not saying that bodies are bad. Like, I think we often think that bodies are bad, but bodies are awesome. And God created them and he said that they were good. But they're lowly in the sense that they're broken by the fall and sin, and we get sick and we die and our desires lead us astray. But one day we're going to be like Christ in his glorious body. And who we are in that story, as I was saying, is a temple for the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And this is like a famous kind of quoted thing even outside of Christianity, the idea of your body being like a temple. But I think the idea of holiness, just the idea that, giving your body as a living sacrifice from Romans, using your members, your body parts as instruments of righteousness, like you might be a priest in a temple making sacrifices to God. Like, our body is important and the way we use it is important, and it's the way that God, we don't make ourselves holy, but it's where God makes us holy. And so we talk about being brave in our family, and that's kind of leaning on Old Testament ideas of being strong and courageous. God spoke to his people a lot, saying, be strong and courageous. But it wasn't to have victory in the land when they were kind of conquering the land. God had already given them that victory, or God won the battles. And then he called his people to be strong and courageous in the way that to live out their lives as God's people, to be holy, to be separate from the nations around them. And so in our family, we value difference. We talk a lot about being brave to be different, in the sense of being different from the world around us, being holy and being separate. And we value surrender in the sense of not trying to control our holiness, not trying to work for our salvation, but giving up our life like a living sacrifice and handing it all over, surrendering control of our life to God. And we value repentance because we know that we're not perfect, and we're not asking our kids to be perfect in their bodies. We're not asking anyone to be perfect, because that's what Christ has done. Christ is perfect and he's made us perfect with him. The way that Christians live is a lifestyle of repentance and admitting that when we sin. The last one is, second last one is about creation and culture. So we're on the earth, so obviously it's the earth, but culture is also all the stuff that we've made as humans, the whole project of civilization that I think also isn't fallen or sinful. Like, there's the Tower of Babel stuff where we try and build our way to heaven, but there's also the work that God gave us to do in the garden, to cultivate the land, to have dominion over creation. And so I think God loves creation, and again, he made it, and he said that it was good, and his plan for creation is to set it free, that creation is kind of waiting and longing for the time of Christ will come back and make everything new again. He will recreate creation, and everything will be good again. And that's, I think, speaking to the fact that things aren't really the way they're supposed to be. Creation isn't perfect. But our role in that story, that we've been given responsibility to care for it as stewards. Creation isn't ours, but we've been given dominion over it to care for it and look after it because it's God's. It's a really special, precious thing that God made, and he's given it to us to care for until he returns again. And I think the same is that for everything that we have, our cities, our money, our school, our work, our jobs that we have. These are things that God has given us. And so in our family, or God's purpose for us in that thing as stewards is to care for nature and to take care in the work that we do. And so in our family, we take care. And we take responsibility for the things God's given us, the earth that he's given us to care for, the talents and the time and the everything else that he's given us. And we're thankful. We don't think that the things we have in our life are because we've worked hard and earned them. They're just gracious gifts from God. Sometimes it's really hard to be thankful if life isn't going the way you want it to go. You don't have the things you want. But I think, And we've put beauty in there as well because, as I said, I think creation's beautiful and I love it. And I think God made it that way. And I think the works of man and women can be beautiful and redeemed as well. I don't think we need to shut all of that out of our life, but God made us creative, and we as a family love beautiful things. We love music and we love flowers, and I love hiking, and we like clothes, or I'm an architect, I love beautiful spaces. And I think if we're not to idolize those things, and when we're to put those in appropriate kind of priority. But I think it's okay to enjoy those things. That's God's grace. He's giving us existence as an act of creative grace. And so for others, you might value sport. I think it's okay to value sport as a Christian. Just understand how it fits into God's purposes for everything. And so the last one is, I'm not really sure how I'm going for time. I haven't been keeping track. But the last one is about other people. And by that, I just mean other people who aren't in the church. And so God's purpose for those people is to save them and to bring them into his people, that out of all nations, he's making a people for himself. And who we are in that story, one of the ways God talks about us is being ambassadors. And there's other things, like this isn't a summary of the whole Bible. There's other things that we've missed out. The Bible talks about us being a royal priesthood. The Bible talks about us being the bride of Christ. And there are other things that we can talk to. But ambassadors, they kind of live in a different culture that's different from them. You don't really belong there. You come from another place and you come and you're living there and you're representing another nation. And we're representing the kingdom of God in a foreign land. And it speaks a bit to that idea about being brave to be different because we don't really belong here. We're part of a new creation that's different. But the way God has chosen to work in those people is through us as his ambassadors, that he's making his appeal to these people through us. And so God's purpose for us is to be witnesses to the truth of who he is and what he has done and what will happen to things through what we say and what we do. And so in our family, we don't hide is the way we talk about it. We value integrity, that we're the same in every context. We don't have a work self and a church self. We don't have like a school self and a home self where they're really different from each other. We don't hide who we are. Like we are like Mia Thermopolis in the sense that we're, as I was saying, like we're adopted into God's family. We're princes and princesses and we're going to live for all eternity with God. And the call is for us not to hide who we are, but to live that out. And so we value speaking as well. We don't stay silent in situations where it would be appropriate for us to talk and give glory to God and witness to the truth. And so this is how we talk about it in our family. In our family, we know God, we love others, we're brave, we take care, and we don't hide who we are. And
Like, as I was saying, we don't necessarily leave that out. My kids don't necessarily love hearing about this stuff. They just got to listen to it at church. But it's about trying to set wayfinding kind of posts along the way as we live out our life. And so to finish up, we'll just kind of come in the way we came out and just repeat some of the things about understanding what your values are and understanding, like, what are you prioritizing at the moment and why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you going to uni? Why are you studying the thing you're doing? Why are you working so hard at that job, or why aren't you working harder? Why are you unhappy, or why are you happy? And sort of laying all of that down at the feet of God and understanding that God's got a bigger plan for everything. And we need to submit our lives and how we live to that bigger plan, because God is real and he's a big God. And that's it. Why don't I pray? Hey? God, we just ask that you would, through your Spirit, work in our hearts and transform us so that we would deeply know and understand that you are God and you are real and you are worthy of all glory. Everything we have is for you. Help us to be honest with ourselves about the things that we're valuing that are at odds with the things that you value. Just help us as well as we go into continue fellowshipping with each other after at morning tea, that we'd continue to talk about these things and interrogate each other about these things and encourage one another today and through the week. Amen.